Well, good evening. Great to see y'all here in the sanctuary this tonight, and those of us that are online, if you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing "You Are My All in All." You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. My shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your name. Just praise the Lord. Praise. praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, blessed be the name of the Lord. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, Blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Well, goodness, ooh, that's a little loud, isn't it? All right. Maybe I'll turn it down back there. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Hope you're having a good week. Good to see those of you online with us tonight. And we're going to have a time of prayer here. And time of prayer, and then we'll get back into our series of messages, Bible studies on the book of Revelation as we attempt to finish that up a year after about a year-long break. So we're in a section of review right now. But here in a couple weeks, we'll be hitting back fresh material. So it's all good. Amen? All right. Prayer requests for this evening. Prayer requests. All right. Let's do praises. Anybody got a praise? Yes, sir, Brother John. Yeah, Glenn Tyler. Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, so Glenn Tyler, how old is Glenn? Young guy, 55, and recovering well from heart attack. Amen. Okay, okay, thank you for that. Other praises tonight, other praises. Yes, sir. Okay. Came back good. All right, man. COVID ain't going to give me something else, is it? Something else is going to give me, man. COVID don't give me something else. All right. James had a good biopsy. Good biopsy. All right, Brother James. Other praises. How's your Amanda friend doing? Okay, so she's doing good? Yes? All right, Amanda. So how many days was she in? Yeah. Did they say what strain she had? No, they didn't. Okay. Right, right. Yeah. Hospital, COVID. Oh, man. Any other praises? Yes, sir, Brother John? Yeah. Yeah. Christian friends, amen. All right, all right. Prayer requests. Okay. James's mother. Sissy, your mom, how's she doing? Okay. All right. And your dad, Harold, how's he doing? Okay. For Harold, pray for Bob, my dad. He's mom called Saturday, then called Sunday, and then said she called the ambulance to come get him. So he's back in Veterans Hospital in Dallas. Got a bad bed sore on one of his heels, so it's infected and all that stuff. So be in prayer for my dad, Harold, Sissy's mom, James, James's mother. Okay. Other prayer requests. Yes. Miss Bicky's down for the count. Bobby's going to have to start cooking and quit taking her for fast food. Start cooking, Bobby. Amen. Save some money and cook. Yes, save some money. Go buy H-E-B and get them little meals, man. You throw in the oven. 400 for 20 minutes. Great meal. You can say I cooked it. All right, back there. Y'all got a prayer request? Oh, yeah. H-E-B, meals on the go, yeah. Any prayer requests over here? Anything? No? Okay. Is that all of them? Very good. Oh, let's be in prayer for the country of India. And they are getting hammered right now with the COVID. It's horrific over there. And be in prayer for our country, our president, his cabinet. All right, be in prayer for our military. I think it's been a while since we've prayed for our doctors and nurses dealing with this COVID. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen? All right. Anything online, brother? I'm sorry. Anything online? Nothing? Do we have some folks with us tonight? Okay. Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Real convenient to stay home and watch it online. Glad to have y'all with us. All right. We want you to come back, though. Plenty of room. This is the last Wednesday night before we pray. This is the last Wednesday night that we're mandatory mask. Starting Sunday, it's an optional thing. And we've got another praise. Amen. So it's an optional thing starting Sunday and thereafter. So masks are optional. Those of you that just cannot breathe with them on, we're just asking you to wear them in. And once you find, you know, we're still social distancing as we sit in the sanctuary. And then when the service is over, we're just asking you to put it on and wear it out. So as soon as you get out the door, take it off. Breeze will blow it all away. So go out the side door. You won't even put yours back on. Just go out the side door. All right, if you're sitting in the first three pews, you just go out the side door. You don't even have to put it back on. All right, so you may be crowded up here Sunday. Yes, sir, Brother John. Lord's Supper. Thank you, Brother John. Lord's Supper this coming Sunday. We will be observing our first Lord's Supper back in over a year. And then our first fellowship dinner on the grounds is going to be Mother's Day here after the AM worship service. So if you've got questions about that, call Brother John. Email Brother John, Facebook Brother John. Oh, you're on all that stuff, right? Facebook, email, they can call you, okay? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you for the grace that we find. We thank you for the forgiveness that we have, Lord, and have received. And, Lord, we're thankful for the shed blood on Calvary's cross that covers our sin. We're always and eternally grateful for the salvation that we have in you. And Lord, we're thankful for the relationship. We're thankful for the beauty of it. We're thankful for the simplicity of it. We're thankful for the longevity of it. Lord, we're just thankful that you love us, you care for us, and you've always got your eye upon us. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we lift up these praises to you. We're thankful that Mr. Glenn Tyler is making a substantial and good recovery from his heart attack. We know that he's given you praise, glory, and honor for that, Lord, and we just pray that you keep that heart healthy. And Lord, just help Glenn with his choices when it comes to food and all of those things. And Lord, we pray that this would be a years from now, this would just be a testimony and a memory, and there wouldn't be any more issues, Lord, with those heart attacks for Glenn Tyler. We lift up Brother James to you, Lord, and his good report from having this biopsy done. We're thankful that that was a good, clear, clean biopsy there. And Lord, we just pray for Brother James's health, protection, Lord. Watch over him. Just lead God and direct him. Lord, we're thankful that Amanda is home from the hospital with COVID. Lord, we just pray that you continue to touch her body and Lord, each and every day, just give her a little bit more strength and more stamina. And Lord, as that body just builds those antibodies and just sheds that virus and gets that thing gone, we just pray for Amanda that she comes back 100%. Lord, help her lungs heal up and her body heal up and everything about her heal up. But Lord, we're thankful that she's out of the hospital and home. Lord, we are thankful for Christian friends. We're thankful for a place we can come to and have Christian friends, a church family, a church home, and then, Lord, other Christian friends and other churches and other bodies of believers that we know. Lord, we're just thankful for Christian friends, that the fellowship, the support, the prayer support, Lord, the help that we can give and receive. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God that we're a part of. Lord, we lift up our parents to you tonight. We pray for James's mother and Sissy's mother and Miss Marjorie's dad and my dad and Miss Vicky tonight. We just lift these parents up to you, Lord. Pray you your healing hand upon them. Touch each of them, Lord, where they need to be touched. We pray for Miss Vicky's, Lord, her digestive system, and we lift up my dad, Lord, and this bed sore issue and infection. We pray for Brother Harold, Lord, and his diabetes and Lord, the things he's got going on in his life, and Miss Sissy, Lord, her mom, Miss Patsy, and just the issues with the medication and trying to get everything right there, and then James's mother, Lord, we just we pray you help her with her balance and Lord, just her independence, Lord, we just pray that you help her take her time and think things through and not get in a hurry, and Lord, keep from falling. We just pray you watch over her. Lord, we do lift up the country, the nation of India, Lord. We pray for these people as they are suffering right now with the pandemic. It's amazing. It comes through and one part of the world kind of gets over it and then it's on its way to another part of the world. And Lord, we just praying that as people are vaccinated and people have gotten over it and have antibodies, we're just looking forward to the day, Lord, where there is a substantial herd immunity within this country and within the world population. And Lord, I just pray that we are so much more prepared and ready. It's not a question of if, but a question of when the next pandemic comes along. Lord, I just pray we're ready, more prepared and ready to go when it does come. But Lord, we're lifting up India. We're praying for those Christians in India, Lord. I pray that you would use them to be a great testimony, a great light in the midst of the darkness there, those that don't know you, Lord, those that need to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we lift up our country to you tonight. We pray for our president, Joe Biden. We pray for his cabinet. And Lord, we pray for what's going on in the Senate and the House and Lord, the Supreme Court, all that stuff. We just pray that the laws of the land would be favorable for the proclamation of the gospel. And the laws of the land, Lord, would continue to move in a direction that are friendly to the unborn. Lord, we're looking forward to a day that abortion on demand is no more in this country. Lord, we just lift that up. And Lord, really doesn't matter so much who's in control or power, but Lord, we know that you are the ultimate power and sovereign authority. And so, Lord, we're going straight to you, and we're praying this prayer that God, we'd be able to preach the gospel openly and freely here, and that the unborn would be protected. Lord, we lift up our military to you and pray you protect them as they are scattered all over this world tonight. Watch over them, Lord. Protect them. And then, Lord, we lift up these doctors and nurses, these heroes of ministry that have done so much this past year plus dealing with this COVID pandemic. Lord, I pray that they're encouraged as more and more folks are vaccinated and building antibodies to this thing. Lord, we're thankful that the death toll is, the percentage is going down. The percentage of hospitalizations is going down here in this country and parts of this country. Lord, we pray that trend would continue. Lord, I pray that those that are on the fence with the vaccine, Lord, they would might really think that through and get it. Those that are opposed to it, Lord, I pray that they might be open to it one day. And Lord, we just pray that we'd all be protected from this mess. Thank you, Lord, for seeing us through thus far and your protecting hand upon us. We love you tonight. We praise you. Thank you for your word as we get into it. And Lord, may we be receptive and open to receive it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's get to Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. We're going to get a little bit further tonight, I think, than where we ended. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 1. Have you found it? Revelation 12? All right, all right. Yes, yes? All right, the Word of God reads, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour the child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Amen and amen. Who's the woman? Israel, that's right. Who's the dragon? Satan, that is correct. Point number two, where we kind of got off into, was who is the murdering post-birth abortionist, right? And so that's verses 3 and 4, what we were dealing with, and we're talking there about the dragon. We're talking about Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the antithesis, the antagonist, the great evil one. That's what we're dealing with. And so our last subpoint we were looking at was the influence and the consequence of evil leadership by the dragon. We talked about this verse 4. Third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, right? So this reference in 4a, first part of verse 4, we said refers us back to the fall of Satan. We talked about he has not always been a what? An evil creature. We talked about in the beginning he was the ranking angel in heaven. We gave you that reference, Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15. We said, but the thing that brought him down, the thing that tripped him up, the thing that ruined it all was pride. Right? Pride was found in Lucifer's heart, and he tried to take God's throne, right? He tried to overthrow the Lord. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. We'll go ahead and read that one. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yeah, I think I talked to you last week how that was a huge struggle for me, that this intelligent, created being of God could think that he could take the throne of God, right? I mean, it was a real struggle for me. It's still kind of a struggle, but how did he get there? He got there because of pride. He got there because of pride, right? Lucifer sinned and became Satan. And so thus he was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14:15, nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol. You will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. And that brings us to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 16 through 18. Ezekiel 28, verses 16 through 18. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. Now, it should be noted that although he was cast from his dwelling in heaven, Satan, right now, in this present age, in the church age, still has access to God's presence. Oh, I don't understand. What do you mean by that? Well, who do you think accuses us, right? The Holy Spirit's not accusing us. It's Satan accusing us. It's his demonic accusing us. Now, you can see that in chapter 12, verse 10. If you want to read ahead a little bit, you're more than welcome. You can look at Job, chapters 1 and chapters 2, book of Job. In Revelation chapter 12, 7 through 9, we'll get there. Satan will be permanently barred. He will be permanently barred from heaven after his defeat by Michael and the holy angels during this tribulation period. Now, when Lucifer fell, he drew or threw, whatever you want to call it, he drew one-third his demonic leadership, his evil leadership, the influence and consequence of evil leadership by the dragon. When he fell, he drew one-third of the angels of heaven into his rebellion. They were cast out of heaven as well. Now, we call these fallen angels demons. I refer to them often as the demonic, okay, the demonic. They are part of Satan's kingdom, and they do his bidding. Ephesians 6:12, we have mentioned this verse several times over the last several weeks. It's amazing how it just keeps popping up. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The big question is that, you know, theologians want to discuss, how many is a third of the stars? In other words, how many angels rebelled with Satan? How many of them? The specific number of angels who joined Satan in his rebellion is not revealed, but it's a bunch. It's a vast number. A vast number. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 reads this. 5:11. We've covered it, already preached through it. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Revelation chapter 5:11 says that the number of the angels around God's throne numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Now, myriad does not represent an exact number. It was the highest number the Greeks expressed in a word. Okay, myriad. Since one-third of the angels fell, in Revelation 9:16, we've already preached through, Revelation 9:16 reveals that 200 million demons will be released from captivity near the Euphrates River. Revelation 9:16 reads, the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So, 200 million, and then uncounted thousands of other demons will have already been released from the abyss earlier in the tribulation in Revelation 9, 1 through 3. In addition to those two groups of bound demons, there are millions of others who are currently free to roam the earth and the heavenly realm per Ephesians 6:12, which we've already read, Colossians 2:15, which you can look up. And so how many was the third? How many was the third? You could say over 200 million. Could we safely say 300 million? Could we safely say 250 million? Who knows for sure, but it is a vast, vast number. So, the influence and consequences of evil leadership by the dragon. As we continue on, who is the murdering post-birth abortionist? We know him to be Satan. We see the murderous plot of this Satan, of this dragon, second half of verse 4. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might do what? He might devour her child, okay? So Satan is pictured standing before Israel, waiting for the birth of her child. His intention is to do what? His intention is to destroy the seed of the woman as soon as he is born. That's his intention. That's what he wants. Satan had worked from the beginning of time in order to prevent the birth of the promised seed of the woman. Satan, he moved Cain to kill Abel. Moved him to kill Abel, thinking he could what? Thinking he could stop God's plan. But what he didn't know that God would send Seth in his sovereignty. Seeking to produce a mongrel, half-human, half-demon, and thus unredeemable race of men, Satan sent demons called sons of God. The same Hebrew phrase refers to angels in Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 2, verse 1, Job 38, verse 7, Psalms 29, 1, Psalm 89, 6. The same Hebrew phrase refers to angels there. Sons of God to cohabit with women, human women. Where is that at, Pastor? I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We've preached and taught on that extensively. However, Satan did not know in God's sovereignty that he would do what? That he would send Noah and the ark, right? He aroused Esau to anger so that Jacob might be killed. He did not know that God would help Jacob escape. He tried to kill off the line of Christ, diminish the Jewish people in Egypt by having Pharaoh do what? By having Pharaoh slay all the little boys, just throw them into the Nile. He did not know that God would save a little boy named Moses. And what would Moses do? Moses would lead the people out of Egypt, right? In God's sovereignty, right? He tried to lead Israel away into idolatry, thinking God would destroy the nation. However, he did not see God sending them into captivity, but then giving them grace when they cried out to him. He failed in every attempt to stop the birth of Christ. And when the time came for Jesus to enter the world, Satan did everything in his power to slay the Christ child when he was an infant. He moved Herod to destroy all the babies in Bethlehem under the age of 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. But in God's sovereignty, what? In God's sovereignty, in every turn, the Christ is protected until his appointed time. He's protected, right? He's a sovereign God, yes. He's a God that is in control, yes, yes. He's a God that has it, yes, yes. He's a God that has you in his hand, absolutely. He's a God that watches you, yes. He's a God that will take care of this, yes, at his second coming. This all comes full circle. We see the murderous plot of the dragon. We see the influence and consequences of his evil leadership by the dragon. That's who is the murdering post-birth abortionist. Who is he? Satan. And then who is the woman? Israel. And then we finally have the child of this woman. Verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. This verse speaks of the seed of the woman. We first of all see his description. He is called a male, a man-child, depending on your translation. The seed of the woman did what? Came into the world like every other baby. He came from the womb of his mother. But this child was unlike any other child that had ever or would ever be born. Right? Jesus, different, right? You see, this seed of the woman was born without a human father. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, his mother was a virgin. We all know this. We celebrate this. Isaiah 7, 14, Luke chapter 1, verse 34. And he was and is God in human flesh, the great prologue to the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, 1 through 20. John 1, 1, John 1, 14. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. So the Word, the Bible, the Word of God, is crystal clear that the seed of the woman is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's his description. Secondly, we see his destiny. What is his destiny? The child of this woman. What is his destiny? His destiny, the Word of God says here in Revelation, is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. The man-child would come into the world, and he would one day rule the world. First time he came was to save the world. The second time he comes is to rule the world. We see this prophecy fulfilled in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, right? He will rule for several reasons, okay? First, he will rule because he created this universe, and it is his, right? It is his. We'll go ahead and look there. We got to turn there. That's a good passage to read. Some of you are familiar with it, some of you may not, but this needs to be one that you know and you just kind of internalize. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. 16 and 17, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Yes, yes, we find it. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. We all there that want to be there? Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So, Pastor, and we covered this, we preached on this when we were in the book of Genesis. So, Pastor, God spoke it all into existence, and you're telling me Jesus was there? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Jesus was there. Jesus is God, right? Jesus is God. Jesus was there, all right? We see the prophecy fulfilled in Revelation 19:15 that he will rule with a rod of iron. First, the reason he gets to rule is it's his. He's created it. Second, he will rule because he purchased this world with his own blood when he died on the cross. Let's go back and look at that one. That's a good one to know. Revelation 5, you don't even have to leave the book. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. That's a good one there. 5 verse 9. 5, 9. Found it? Yes, 5, 9, chapter 5, verse 9. Word of God reads, "And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Amen? It's a good verse. Third, we see the prophecy fulfilled, right? Revelation 19:15, to rule the nations with a rod of iron. We're talking about reasons he gets to do that. Third, he will rule because he alone is worthy to rule. Revelation chapter 4, just back it up a few verses. 4 verse 11, chapter 4, 11. Revelation 4, 11. Are they keeping up with me back there, brother, online? 4, 11? Yeah? Okay. All right, well, good for them. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." So, what do we see? This child of this woman, his description. We see his destiny. Finally, we see his deliverance. We see his deliverance because God is sovereign to deliver him. The deliverance. The man-child is pictured being caught up to God and to the throne of God. So, here's the good news of the gospel contained in this verse. Jesus Christ died for our sins, right, on the cross. The good news is he did not stay what? He did not stay dead. He arose from the dead. He arose from the grave. 3 days later, Revelation 1:18 tells us, after he arose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He sat down at the right hand of his Father in heaven, Hebrews 1:3, Hebrews 10:12. He will not stay there forever. The Bible tells us, not just in Revelation, but the Bible tells us throughout the biblical record, that he is returning for his bride. And you and I are that bride. And the Bible speaks of this being real soon. And every generation since the ascension of Christ has believed they are the generation in which Christ is to return. Why would our generation be any different? As we look at the landscape of the land, as we look at the sinfulness of the world, as we think of all the debauchery and all the things wrong and going wrong and continually seeming to get worse. Don't want to be the Debbie Downer of the party, but they seem to be getting worse. They seem to be getting worse. We get number and number to it. We're like the frog in the pot of water, right? We just get number and number to it. But things continually get worse. Now, there are a group of Christians that believe that things will continue to get better and there won't be any kind of a tribulation, so to speak. And he will just come and that'll be the deal, right? But that's not what the biblical record records. Things are going to get worse. The church will be raptured. There will be great confusion in the land. For 3 years, things will be relatively smooth. And then that second 3.5 years, things are going to get really, really bad. Right? Really, really bad. So is he coming back? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 18 says he is. Then he will come, when he comes, to defeat his enemies and assume his rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? That takes us through verse 5 of Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I believe. Let me get back there. Yes, yes. Yes, that takes us through verse 5. Okie doke. Amen. Those of you online, all right, I hope we're better for it. We're just trying to wash the church with the word. Amen. So that we can be presented one day, blameless and ready to go, ready to be handed off. Don't forget the Lord's Supper this coming Sunday. Don't forget Mass are optional. Let's see here. Don't forget to get with Brother John on Mother's Day. Men, especially men, right? And it's going to be good, good, good. All right? You guys ready for a closing prayer? All right, let's close it out. Dear Jesus, we thank you again for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of Revelation. Thank you, Lord, as we ease back in and begin at this second half of the book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord. I pray things are starting to connect and click again, Lord, like we were over a year ago, Lord. We're trying to get that momentum back, and we're trying to get that interest back, and we're trying to get that continuity back. And, Lord, I pray as we go forward in the second half, and then we kind of step back and look at some of these earlier chapters, referencing some of these earlier verses, that, Lord, these things would begin to gel and begin to make sense, and we'd begin to build that knowledge base and continue that knowledge base again, Lord, so that we can have our eschatology. We've got our beginnings as we went through the book of Genesis, Lord, and we're going through our Gospels. We want to understand the Gospel, and Lord, want to be speakers of the Gospel and sharers of the Gospel. But Lord, we also need to be cognizant and up on and familiar with the last days, the eschatology of the Bible, of the Word of God. And so, Lord, we seek to be diligent. We seek to be learners. We seek to be students. We seek to receive it all, God. So help us. Help us receive it all and help this pastor communicate it all the way you would have it communicated to your people so they might receive it and apply it to their lives. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you tonight for just revealing your truth to us. And Holy Spirit, we know that you point us towards Jesus and you point us towards the Father. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, we're thankful that you're coming again, your second coming, your second advent. Lord, as we get ready to leave here tonight, we pray for safety as we depart this place. Lord, we're praying a hedge of protection around this sanctuary and around these pews and around these family groups as we come in this coming Sunday. Lord, we have waited about as long as we can wait to make this mask thing an optional thing. And so, Lord, as masks come off, we're just praying for your protection from any kind of sickness or anything, Lord. Just watch over us. We've tried to err on the side of caution. We've tried to listen to reason. And so, Lord, we're now asking for your touch and for your protection as we go forward in this. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for keeping us for all eternity. Thank you that nothing can remove us from your hand. Those that are children of God, saved and blood-bought, we're thankful for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Have a blessed rest of the week.